me start by saying that small producers and own account workers, micro enterprises, as well as informal workers, are the backbone of Indian economy. Out of the total 57 million workforce, 92 are in the informal sector, in the sense that they are not getting benefits of social security and they are not enjoying permanent status of worker. In the non-agricultural sector, there are 58 million informal enterprises in the country, outside agriculture, that is. They contribute 31% of the GDP and 32% of exports. And in spite of their predominance and being backbone in the Indian economy, they are invisible in official records as workers and not adequately addressed in policies, including bailing out packages that have been announced so far. Keeping this in mind, a quick survey was conducted, which was supported by UNDP. It covered 7 sectors in 5 states in India. Now, as we all know, this has been discussed many times, the major channels of the impact on the informal sector and marginalized workers are financial sectors, capital outflows, decline in FDI, ODA, remittances decline, et cetera, which has led to decline in government revenue and decline in capital flows, capital liquidity crunch, which has almost dried up credit for small sector. Then export markets have collapsed. That's another reason. Though exports are not important in that sense, in the Indian economy, in the sense that 22% of GDP comes from exports, but their impact is very significant, direct as well as indirect. Exchange rate is another major pressures on the Indian rupee, which has increased the cost of raw materials and intermediate products, which have affected small producers and own account workers significantly. And though it has made exports easier, market is shrinking, so they are finding it difficult to sell their products. Decline in tradable services like tourism, IT services, overall impact on investment growth, employment, etc., has also have had negative impacts in the second and subsequent rounds. And migrant workers going back to their villages also is an important issue. About 20 million workers have gone back to agriculture from cities after the decline in exports, and this have created severe impact on the local economies. We'll see that soon. Now, large number of sectors are impacted, right from gems and jewelry or diamond cutting and polishing, where the entire raw material comes from outside and 80 to 85% product is exported, to waste collection, which is a local activity, but which has been impacted severely through the different kinds of crises. So we have selected 7 sectors: diamond cutting and polishing, highly import-export intensive, then garment industry, again an export-based industry, engineering, auto parts, chicken craft, that's a handicraft, textile, waste picking, and agriculture. In 5 major states in India, that is Gujarat, Madhya Pradesh, Punjab, UP, Tamil Nadu, I think. And this study was organized, the organizations involved in this study were CFDA, the Center for our Center, GIDR, SEWA, EDI, and we coordinated the study. Approach for such a study, for a quick survey, was designed in a way that we got meaningful results. So first we had a sectoral profile, then we selected centers based on the sectoral profile, then based on different discussions and FGDs, we selected a purposeful sample along with case studies so that we could include the major typologies of affected workers based on our field information and discussions, etc. Now, the major findings of the study. The first major finding was that employment declined in all the 7 sectors. On an average, 80% workers were affected. 20% workers were not affected. Out of these 80, 20 were unemployed, and 40 experienced severe decline in their work. 20% shifted to other activities. Those who shifted to other work, out of them, 80% went down in skill level, from unskilled to unskilled level. Again, they went down from regular to casual and contract labor, and they went to low productivity, petty work kind of a situation. So there was a clear deterioration. In spite of there being informal sector, they experienced a further decline in terms of their skill level, productivity, and employment status. Now, if you see the impact on income, average monthly income of workers, it becomes clear that there has been significant decline in different sectors. The overall decline was 41%. 10 minutes, okay, 41%. The highest was, as expected, in diamond industry, 60%. Chicken craft, 50%, garment, 30%. And you can see that in chicken craft, where the average income is very low, the decline has been significant even at that level. Again, daily earnings of workers, significant decline. Overall decline was about 30%. Diamond, 45%. Waste picking, 43.5%. Chicken craft, 30%. And things like that. So overall decline in the daily wage earning was there, in spite of the fact that apart from gems and jewelry and auto parts and engineering, the wage levels in the rest of the sectors were very, very low. And in spite of that, they experienced severe decline. In agriculture, they didn't experience decline because we'll see that later on. Now, what kind of support did they provide? The decline was because of decline in wage rate and decline in employment. Now, they required support of different kinds. Did they receive any support? Obviously, government could not help them. Only the two kinds of supports were given for. One was for protecting consumption levels, and the second kind of support was given for training, employment, etc. In the first kind, we saw that government did not help much. Employers also did not help much. And industry associations, not much. Friends and relatives were the main source, but 65% workers were left without any support in consumption. As far as jobs are concerned, maximum support was provided again by friends and relatives, but their friends and relatives could not provide adequate support, with the result that 83.34% workers were left without any support whatsoever. So what were the alternatives available for them? They had these alternatives. One was dissaving, mortgaging assets and selling assets. Second was reduction of consumption expenditure. Third one was to enter the labor market, non-workers entering the labor market. Fourth one was unpaid work, taking the burden. Fifth one, migrating back to the villages so that they can go back to their families or their own people and get some kind of support from them. And then, of course, there were conflict, tension, violence, going to suicide cases also, and drinking and smoking. So these were the kind of coping strategies or the alternatives which they adopted. 10% people stopped remittances, and we found that this decline was, the amount of decline by 50%. Dissaving, 31.07%, because those who had savings could save, and that was more in the diamond, engineering, and auto parts. For the rest of the people, dissaving was not a major thing. Pawning, mortgaging, 16%. Sale of assets were 14.77%, because these people had limited capacity even for borrowing, pawning, and sale of assets. So the most important strategy for these workers was to reduce their consumption. The most important strategy was to reduce food consumption. And one can see that food consumption was reduced by a large number of percentage of workers in all the sectors. This is because not only they experienced a decline in income, but they were afraid of the coming uncertainties and risk involved in that. So the cut in consumption was quite widespread, starting from 90%, almost 90% in this thing, okay. So chicken craft and so on and so forth. So this was I don't have much time. Then education was another major thing. Average 53% reduced their education consumption, either by withdrawing children or by shifting to public government schools, or by reducing educational expenditure of children. Then medical treatment, health expenditure declined for so many people. On an average, I think the decline was experienced by 65% of population. Then economic participation of women increased on an average by 30% people and 14% women increased their work. 10% children participated in the labor force and 6.9% old people who were not in the labor force also participated. That means a significant entry of non-workers into the market. Then domestic work of women increased considerably. 35% workers reported that, households reported that they had increasing unpaid work, and this increase was up to 4 hours. Increased tension conflicts, again reported by significant number of people, number of workers. Now, small producers, worst affected sector, because they had credit problems, rising prices of raw materials, poor access to markets, no access to bailing out, high mortality rate and sickness of these units. Migrant workers who went back depressed the village economies, because without they went without remittances, and remittances were so significant in some of these villages that the income level declined considerably and large number of shops closed down, pawn shops, grocery shops, etc. They also depressed the local wage rate because the youth supply coming back to agriculture depressed that. Frustration and hopelessness, and in these cases, we did not see any evidence of NREGA helping. The implications are that we have subjected our economy to a high level of vulnerability in the name of growth, which has marginalized large sections of the population. Export workers who earn precious foreign exchange have been thrown to the volatility of the global markets without any kind of support. And in spite of 60 years of planning, we have not been able to ensure universal access to basic health and education to all. And small producers, own account workers, who are as it is deprived of support, are suffered maximum in the crisis. And women's plight is almost invisible in the official data and policies, which was as a producer, as wage earners, as well as homemakers. So recommendations. Firstly, recommendations are regarding protection, so universalizing social protection, upgradation of employment services, food, health, nutrition to all, etc., etc. I think I go ahead. Bailing out package for women was another thing. Separate employment targets for women should be there, construction of social infrastructure, social services, universal child care, and so on and so forth. Employment guarantee program can play an important role, and one has to focus more on it in the areas, particularly the areas where the agriculture workers have gone back. So one, if one plans properly, they can be benefited better. Then there is a case, strong case for urban EGP, because most of the sectors were in the urban areas, and when we inquired, they found out that there is a demand as well as there is a supply for this. But finally, this raises basic questions about the economy. That what are the advantages of globalizing at the lowest level of the value chain, where the employment is of poor quality and uncertain and unstable? There don't seem to be any advantages, because you don't have any power in the global production networks, and you are getting the crumbs and try to cut your wages and your cost of production, particularly by wage cut, to such an extent that the quality of employment deteriorates to the lowest possible level. Do we gain anything in this? That's one question. Second question is that trade policy is supposed to be the most important policy right now, and increasing exports, globalization with the global, I mean, integration with the global market are treated as the goals in themselves, which is very wrong, because there is no developmental goals incorporated, there are no developmental goals integrated into these policies. Trade policy operates separately, industrial policies operate separately, and labor policy just doesn't appear in any of these policies. The Labor Ministry operates independently in their own small little way. Exports are the main drivers of growth is another question which is raised by this, that do we really have to go for that? And validity of the development model in India, that's another thing, that is our development model valid? And in that context, I think there is a need to rethink development model. India is in a position to redesign its development strategy independently, and it should redesign its development model independently to make domestic economy healthier and stronger. I don't think I have any time to elaborate on this, but these are the major points. Thank you.
Thank you.